summer and winter. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. And great, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh.
We give you praise for all that you are, all that you mean to us. We magnify you. And we testify, oh Father, that you're a good God, faithful in all of your ways. Your name is supreme in every realm. There is no place where you lack authority. You are an awesome God, all-powerful God, everywhere present, all-knowing, all-seeing. You understand all things. Lord, we testify, O God, that you are a God and you reign supreme in us. Blessed be your holy name forever, Father. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. This evening we have the beginnings of a very special feast called Rosh Hashanah. We're going to start special meetings tomorrow commemorating this particular feast of the Lord. And I've asked for, because this feast is also called the Feast of Trumpets. And I was looking online and I saw two very special blowings of the shofar, and we don't have rights to it. I want to say that right up front. We don't have rights to this particular blowing of the shofar, but we will want to use it to declare the praise and the shout of God concerning this particular feast. The shofar, when it's blown, is a call to attention. It calls us to attention, to an awareness. Bring us to a place where we have to reflect and come to an understanding of who God is, and what God stands for, so that we can align ourselves with it. And that is the blowing of the shofar. There are four categories to it. There's a category called the tekiah, which is that call to attention. And then there's the shevarim, and you're going to hear these statements and these declarations while the shofar is being blown. And the shevarim is three pops of the blowing of the shofar, and then there's the truah, and that is nine kind of a rapid blast. All of this is calling us to attention, calling us into a place of repentance. And there's Tekiah Gedola, which is a long, steady blast at the end. But we do know that the shofar, while it calls us to attention to the things of God, calls us to a place of repentance, is also blown to one sense that something is happening, that they need to get ready for a battle. It also is blasted to signify victory over the enemy. It also blown to signify the welcoming of the presence of God. And I like this particular video. Once again, we don't have particular rights to it. Stumbled on it online, and I like to have that blown so that we can get the feast started here also. If you may, please.
Phenomenal about the Kia for the shofar. You're about to hear an amazing shofar call. Live only at Ezra Habodim Niles Township Jewish Congregation in Skokie, Illinois. but now available to the whole world via video. Tekiah. Shvarim Truah. Tekiah. Shvarim Truah. Kia. Shvarim Truah. Kia. Kia.
Praise the Lord.
Hey.
Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Well, it's a new year. Praise the Lord. Amen. This evening, I want to continue some things that I started talking about this morning. And one of the things that we did talk about was the very fact that we have one singular fight. There's one battle. There are not many battles. And we need to get our mind to understand what the real battle is. It's the battle for you to take hold of the eternal word of God, the word of faith, and to be able to stand no matter what it is that's happening around you, that you stand. Even unto death, you stand and don't give up. You know, the three Hebrew boys said, "We're not careful to answer you about this matter, O king. If God saves us, great. If he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down to your gods." Amen? And that is what you have to settle. Every one of us, we have to have that settled, that we belong to God and that it is God's word that is final. We are not being led by the words of man. We are led by the word of God, by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So when you're led by the Spirit or led by the Word of God, you are a son of God. And as a son of God, you are a covenant person. If you're not led by the Word of God, then you're declaring very clearly to every realm, to every entity, to every creature, whether they be natural or supernatural, that you do not qualify as a son of the Most High God, and therefore you do not belong to God, and therefore you can be harassed and you can be pushed down and you can whatever the enemy wants to do. You're enslaved to the enemy. But when you know that you are a child of God and that the word of God is supreme in your life, then there's nothing that the enemy can do but get frustrated that he cannot have his way with you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the word of God says, having done all, stand. Withstand the enemy. Stand. Having put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because there is a real enemy. There's a real adversary. And the adversary wants to stop you from fulfilling the mandate of God. Let us understand something. The devil doesn't care if you worship any other thing and you say that you're not worshiping him, as long as you are not worshiping the only true God. He could care less. All he wants is for you not to worship the God that you know is good. And so if you decide, you know, I don't believe in the devil, he says, okay, don't believe in me, as long as you don't believe in God. As long as you do not commit yourself to the only true God, I could care less. Say, I don't believe Satan, I don't believe the devil, I don't believe in demons, I don't believe in witchcraft, I don't believe in whatever. Okay, good. I believe in nothing. And the devil says, okay, I'm fine with that. I believe in God. Now we've got a problem. You believe in God. And he will come after you. But our belief in God is not a mental assent. For the Bible says even the devil believes in God and trembles. Our belief in God is manifested by the actions that we take on a daily basis. This morning I shared with you about how the Israelites in their own land were being resisted by the Philistines. In the Bible, there are many enemies. There's the Amalekites, there's the Amorites, and on and on. But there are two primary enemies that we are very aware of. The Philistines and the Egyptians. The reason we are more aware of them is because the Philistines and the Egyptians had control over the land. Well, there was Babylon and Assyria and all of that, but the Philistines especially wanted to occupy the land that the Israelites were apportioned. That was their land. But the Philistines wanted that same land. And in a sense, that particular group of people, the Philistines, were later on named as Palestinians. And the purpose is still the same, to move Israel out of the land. And what happened during the time of Saul was that the Philistines had full control over the weaponry of the people of God. They didn't allow them to have any weapons of warfare. And whatever it is that they allowed, because they needed their axes, they needed their matlocks, they needed, you know, whatever it is that they needed to do some farming and whatever else, you had to register with the Philistines. And so the people of God had no weaponry for battle, because the Philistines said, if we allow them to have any weapons, they will have a fight. They will have the capacity to fight back. So we're going to make sure that we control and know exactly who has what Register your weapons. And today, in our present day, you know that the plan of government is to make certain that everybody registers their weapons. I don't have weapons, but people have rights. Why do you want to know how many weapons I've got? Well, so that you can come get it, so I cannot fight back or resist whatever it is that is contradicting my freedom. I'm not asking anybody to carry guns and resist governments or anything like that. God forbid. No, we are here to pray for governments. We're here to pray and to intercede for our leaders so that we can live a peaceable life. But the point I'm trying to make is that the agenda of the enemy has never changed. It's still the same thing. Whether it was during the days of Saul or this day, it's still to make sure that you don't have a fight. But our battle is not with flesh and blood. Amen? It is against principalities, it is against powers, it's against the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high or heavenly places. And so our focus needs to be, first and foremost, primarily, be on how we can arrest the powers of darkness that are influencing natural men to legislate and to do wrong things. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal. And the Lord says, occupy till I come. Unfortunately, as believers, we have failed to occupy. We've let people take positions of authority where they legislate things, and then we complain. There are some prayers that we didn't need to pray if we only did the right thing. If we understood that God is not just religious, relationally, but he's political also. God is political. Because politics is about governance. And God governs. And that means that we need to be involved in what's happening from the school division right through to the seat of the prime minister, that believers need to be involved, and that believers need to be in the offices of ministries. We need to be seated in every area. We should be involved. We should be involved in the legal system, in the educational system, in the medical system, social systems, everything, because God says to us, occupy till I come. But we've subjugated and let it out, leased out our positions of authority. I pray that the Lord will help us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to begin to rethink things from going to the parent-teachers meeting and running for trustees in the school division so that they don't start lambasting and putting things into our families and we are just running behind the eight ball all the time. We should be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Daniel was a politician, and he was a believer. Joseph ended up being a politician, but he was a believer. David was a politician, a king, but he was a believer. We need to penetrate every aspect of government. Every aspect. We've seeded it out to people who want to do their thing, but their thing is the devil's thing. And then we complain. Why are we complaining? You give up the seat and somebody's sitting on it. Now you're complaining? God removed them from the seat? Okay, if God removed them from the seat, who's going to occupy that seat? You? When you're not engaged? Or somebody more wicked? Didn't you read in the Bible that when you cast out one evil spirit, if it leaves, and when it comes and sees that the place is not occupied, it gets seven more wicked spirits to come with it. And so we're busy praying things out, and more wicked come and say, I thought we had a reprieve. And no, you're supposed to occupy this space. What makes anybody running for any party better than you? I'm not part of any political party. But believers need to be involved in the politics of the land to influence it with a godly perspective. Amen? Hallelujah. That's not my calling. My calling is for us to understand what God is saying. Be involved. We are in a political season right now. You need to be involved. You need to know what the platforms are. I don't know why the Lord is leading me this way this evening, but you need to know what is this party running for? Are they in line with what I should be voting for? Who is running in this particular area? When they know that your voice must be heard, and they know that you have a particular perspective, and your perspective is a God perspective, because a God perspective is going to bring about the goodness of God in a particular area, then things can change. We need to partner with God to make sure that the devil doesn't keep on running rampant all over the place. That we be salt in the earth. The Bible says if we cease to be salt, then we're not good for anything but to be trodden underfoot. And I think there's been a lot of treading underfoot going on. We need to get our salt back. Amen? We need to get our saltiness back, because as salt, we preserve. We keep the corruption away. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. The Word of God says in the book of Genesis, chapter 17 and verse 7, God speaks to his son and friend, Abraham. He says, I will establish my covenant between me and thee. I'm going to establish my covenant between me and you. And not only that, and thy seed after thee, that's your children, in their generations. So, the point God is making is, in every generation, I am going to renew that covenant. I'm going to renew that covenant with your children in their generations. And when the next generation comes, I'm going to renew that covenant. I'm going to reaffirm it. I'm going to reestablish it so that they know what the covenant is. What is the covenant? To be a God unto thee, and to be a God unto them, and to thy seed. after thee. I'm going to be God to them. I'm going to have rulership in their midst. I'm going to bring transformation into their families and into the realm that they've been called to. Now, the enemy will challenge that, as he did in Genesis 26. The Bible tells us about how Isaac had lived in this particular land, and he'd been there for so many years because God told him to go to Gerar. And while he was there, nothing was changing in his life. He didn't get any results different from the results that the people of Gerar were getting. And the problem was, he was living a lie. The lie was, he had mentioned to them, just like his father before him, that his wife was really his sister. When you call your wife your sister, how do you expect fruitfulness to take place? It's not going to happen. So the promises of God were being delayed because he was living a lie. Why is he living the lie? He's living the lie because he was afraid. And one of the reasons why we don't get involved is because we live in a realm of fear. And the stronghold of fear must be destroyed. You and I need to evaluate our lives and say, okay, in what area of my life am I operating based on fear? Because when you're afraid, you don't speak out. The things that I'm saying this evening might upset so many people and may not be said by some people because of fear. But there's only one person that I'm afraid of. God. That's it. Period. Sometimes mama. Hallelujah. But God, period. That's it. What are you going to do to me? Starve me to death? What? Throw me in jail? What? None of it is going to work. It's not going to work because my focus is more on him and my eternal responsibility and recognizing that there is eternal life. Now, what God says is the truth. That when I compare the temporary pain of the present to eternity, I say, okay, make my day. I could care less. What? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you have nothing. When you have the fear of death, then the devil has control. But when that is no longer the issue, what's your bargaining chip? I'm going to destroy this. It doesn't matter. Those are things. What matters is my spiritual awareness and my connection to the living God. Ultimately, that's all that really matters, and obeying his word. That's what must be of importance to every one of us as believers. What does God have to say about this matter? Now, I understand that what God has to say about particular matters may sometimes don't make sense to the natural mind, and therefore you might be coming out as crazy and foolish and out of touch with things. But if that's what God's word says, I'd rather be out of touch with things and be in line with God. That makes sense? It's a decision that every one of us need to make. Obeying the word of God must be of utmost importance to us as believers. What does God say? What does God say about marriage? What does God's word say about gender? What does God's word say about finances? What does God's word say about relationships? What does God's word say about politics? What does God's word say about whatever? I don't find out what God's word says. If I don't know what God's word says right now, I say, hold off. I will check out and find out what God's word says. And you can be certain that what God's word says is going to be the answer I present to you next time you see me. But right now, hold off. Let me find out what God's word says, because I don't know what God's word says about this issue. If God's word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Period. This must be the discipline that we hold as God's people. If you don't hold that to be the truth that guides you, your true north, then you're going to be tossed this way, that way, and become unstable in all of your ways. There are so many people that are so unstable, unfocused. See, when you're unfocused, you become a blur. See, this camera watching me right now, if he begins to zoom in out in particular ways, he can blur the image. And then all you see is shadows. Nothing solid, no defining lines. That's being unfocused. You have to have defining lines in your life. This is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm not going to do. Why aren't you going to do that? Because this is what I know God said to me about this situation. And because God's word said that to me, and God spoke to me very specifically about this particular issue, this is a decision I'm making. It may not be the decision for somebody else, but for me, it is the decision. Since I started walking with the Lord, I've had many instructions from Him. Things He wanted me to do at particular times, and things He didn't want me to do at particular times, and some things had a time limit to it. For example, many years ago, while I was still a student, I was sharing this with somebody recently. I'm not too sure who it was I was sharing it with. I love jewelry. You know, I like my chains and rings, and I used to wear lots of rings. And one day the Lord says to me, says, get rid of those rings. I was maybe about 18, 19 at the time. Get rid of those rings out of your hand. I said, why? What's wrong with my rings? Well, because I want to place on your hand a signet ring. I'd never heard that word before, signet ring. What's that? A signet ring. But first thing I did, I obeyed God. I took off the rings. You know, I'm not supposed to wear any rings until I got married, and after that you can wear. Okay? So I got rid of the rings. But I also knew at the same time that that instruction was personally for me. It wasn't for everybody. That was a personal word God gave to me. I don't want you to wear rings on your finger because I'm going to place on your finger my signet ring. So I checked to find out what a signet ring was. Lo and behold, it was this ring that kings wore and they used in signing documents. I said, thank you, Lord. I'm getting rid of these ones, fake stuff. I want your ring. Hallelujah. But it was for a particular time. And when that time was up, I have my apostle's ring and my wedding band, and that's it. No the other ones, you know, just these two. Well, I was wearing a neck chain quite a bit, and I was doing a television program called Message of Deliverance at that time. Now that's morphed to Call to Victory. And I got a call from some lady, and she says, I'm so blessed by the word that God has given to you today. I'm so blessed. But what is it about that chain that you are wearing? I said, this chain is in the way. So I stopped wearing the chain on my neck. I put it aside. Well, if the truth be known, the other reason I don't wear it is because Mama doesn't like me wearing chains. So I don't. But now, once in a while, I sneak it in. I have, you know, this nice cross one. Well, don't disturb my bishop. But that's just that. You understand? That's just that. It doesn't mean anything. Why am I telling you that? I'm saying that to say that there are limitations, defining lines that we put on our lives, but we don't necessarily have to make it a law that limits us and puts us in bondage. But know that you have the power to set it down and pick it up if you want. It's nothing. Amen? Okay. Now, having said all of that, gets me to this particular aspect I need to talk to you about. And I'm going to move quickly on this. It's found in Psalm 92. Psalm 92 is a very interesting psalm. Most of us know Psalm 91, but you need to know Psalm 92 also. It says this, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing to give thanks. And I give God thanks today for 45 years of his grace upon my life as a full-time minister of the gospel. And 45 years means a great deal to me, because 45 is 9 times 5. And today is the 9th month and the 5th day. And it happens to be a very rare day. I tried to Google to find out what other year Rosh Hashanah fell on September the 5th/6th. and I cannot find it. I Googled every which way I could and could not. There's no such question, because this is extremely rare. I don't remember. From all the times I've been thinking about Rosh Hashanah, that when Rosh Hashanah fell this early in the year, and that it fell today, starting today, on the day that God called me to the ministry, 45 years ago, marked it for me. What else marked it for me? Today, the Legacy Center, that my spiritual father established as a legacy of the impartation of the grace on his life on the masses, today was dedicated. And when I saw that, I said, that's another marker. God is saying something here. He is birthing something supernatural by his Spirit. And I want to give God thanks for that. Amen? You say, well, aren't you making up things? Nine times five? It's none of your business. It's me giving God thanks. Hallelujah. Any which way, I'm giving God thanks that he has kept me, sustained me, and it is by his grace that I'm here. Praise the Lord. Then it goes on, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. I'm going to give God thanks for him showing forth his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night. Every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. Hallelujah. I will triumph in the works of thine hands. I am triumphant. God causes us to be triumphant in every situation. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. The thoughts of God are very deep. Who can search it out? He has layers and layers and layers of things that he's planned. And to God be the glory, we declare this day in the mighty name of Jesus that those deep thoughts of the Lord will be manifested in us and through us so that we can shine brightly in the world. Praise the Lord. It says, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this, how deep the thoughts of God are. He says, when the wicked, watch this, when the wicked spring as the grass, just like that, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, looks like everything is going well for them, but they are workers of iniquity and they are wicked, he says, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. God causes them to show up so that they can be destroyed. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that is hidden, he's going to cause it to come up so he can take it out. For he's the God who will remove the tares. And he's assigned his angels to help in that assignment. So we declare this day in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that every activity of the enemy that seems to be flourishing, that it come to its end. Because the wickedness of the wicked must come to an end. Hallelujah. He says, but thou, Lord, art most high forever. For lo, thine enemies. Watch that. For lo, thine enemies. Not my enemies. They are your enemies. O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. The enemies of the Lord shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Arise, O God, and let all your enemies be scattered. We declare this day that God will rise strong and mighty in us and through us so that we can stand as his representatives in the earth, in every sphere of society, in every realm, that the hand of God will cause us to stand as men and women stoic in faith. Hallelujah. It says, and all the workers of the enemy will, all the workers of iniquity will be scattered. But what is going to happen to us? Oh, he says, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. that a unicorn is an animal that you may say is extinct because nobody's seen it. But it is an entity that does exist, if nowhere else, in the minds of men. Amen? And so the point about exalting my horn like a unicorn is God saying, I'm going to do something that is so rare, that looks so impossible, that will cause people's minds to be blown because they can't understand. How did this happen? This is such a unique situation. Praise the Lord. God is going to cause you and I to be unique, uniquely picked out. He says, I shall be anointed with not old oil, fresh oil. Praise the Lord. Say with me, Lord, anoint me with fresh oil. Exalt me like the horn of a unicorn. Thank you, Father. I am blessed and highly favored. God will use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He says, we are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You know, I believe that one of the problems facing us as believers is that we don't understand that we are a holy nation, that we are a nation. When you think about a nation, you think about government. A failed nation is a nation that doesn't have leaders, doesn't have governance. But if we are a holy nation, then we are a nation that has order. Nations have a military force, don't they? The Bible says we are not a weaponless people, because God has given us weapons. He says the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. So we're not talking about pistols and machine guns and atomic bombs and whatever else. We're talking about the sovereign power of the living God that's able to cause the sun to stand still until the man of God accomplishes his purpose. And what is that purpose? The purpose of covenant. You understand? It was covenant that caused Joshua to say, "Son, stay still." It was covenant that got God involved to start hailing down rocks to wipe out the enemies of Gibeon. Gibeon was a tribe that joined themselves to Israel. They were not Israelites, but they had come into covenant. In other words, God is saying, I'm going to anoint you and empower you so that your words are kept, that you are able to keep your word. So many believers are not able to keep their words. They just, I'm going to do this, and they never do it. But God is saying, I'm going to equip you to fulfill your words, to accomplish what you say. Why? Because God is that kind of a God who will accomplish and do what he said. Whatever God says, that's what it is. And God wants to bring us to that place where we begin to reign and rule in that grace of declaring and seeing a manifestation. Hallelujah. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. So let it be now. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, man, I also shall see my desire on mine enemies. Notice the word, mine eye. He didn't say mine eyes. He said, mine eye. What does it mean by mine eye? It's talking about being single-minded, focused, shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. What is that desire? Let's look at the next verse. The righteous shall flourish. That's it. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. In other words, I'm not concerned about my enemies. I'm just going to be me in spite of them. Glory be to God. The palm tree. The palm tree, it doesn't matter what the storm is doing, its leaves just go like that. It bends, but it comes back up resilient. Like a cedar in Lebanon. What did the cedar, what was the cedar used for? The cedar was used for building in the temple. And some of the furniture in the temple came out of that cedar. In order with God saying, he's saying here, the psalmist is saying, I'm going to be a vessel that God can use in his temple. Amen? Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do, I'm going to be usable. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Next thing, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. What does the enemy want to do? Make sure that you're not planted in the house of the Lord. With all the things that have been happening this last 18 plus months, the agenda of the enemy is to make sure that people are not planted. There's some people that may be watching online, you know, but they're really not watching online. They say they want to, I'm going to participate online. And while they have their computer on or their laptops and they're registered that they are online, they're busy doing every other thing, doing their laundry, doing whatever else, but they are online. I know about you. Hallelujah. But what is the agenda of the enemy? To make sure that people are corrupted in their walk of faith. And that's something that we must decide must not happen. My life belongs to God. I'm surrendered to God. I am planted in the house of the Lord. Some who this last 18 months have not given a dime to the house of God. Not because they're not working. They're working. They should be tithing. Whether you are in church or not in church, you should be tithing. You should be giving to God. But not a dime. Why didn't you give? Well, I've not been in church. Really? Is there a mailbox? Is there a post office? Is there something called e-transfer? What's your excuse? No, if God calls you to give, just do your thing. Be planted in the house. Mark yourself, and I am part of the family of God. This is my family. I am part of what God is doing here, and you do your part. Amen? You know, by the end of this year, this whole place is going to be totally different. I came in here this morning around 7 o'clock this morning, and as I was walking in, I could see the screen. I could see everything change, and I said, I'm walking in the old right now, but the new is coming. Hallelujah, it's coming. And when the word has gone forth, let me tell you something. When the word has gone forth, you need to jump in and participate. I mean, really participate. Because if you don't participate, it's going to happen with you or without you. Because it is the word of God that creates it. You know, one of my spiritual sons from Africa, he might be listening right now. All I know. He says, I'm sending in my offering for the renovation. He might never come here. But he's way out there in Africa. It's given. And he's not giving pennies. He's giving real money. And if somebody in Africa gives you $1,000, that's like somebody from here giving $10,000. Do you know what I'm talking about? I got to tap into what God is doing. I'm going to connect with it. See, God is spreading the word and doing his thing. And I want to encourage everybody to be planted in the house. How do you get planted? You get planted by your giving. You get planted by your service. Why do you go to a church and you're not serving anywhere? What's the proof that you are there? There are all kinds of ways that you and I can serve. Pick a position, pick a thing that you like to do, and do it with all your heart. You know, David says, I'll be a gatekeeper, a porter, I'll be an usher, whatever it is. I'm going to do what. You want me to go wash the toilet bowls? I'm going to make sure that the toilet bowls are the cleanest toilet bowls on this side of heaven. That's your calling. And God looks at her and says, thank you, son. Thank you. I see that. I see what you're doing. Here. And while you're cleaning, you're saying, God, whoever comes into this toilet and uses this toilet, I declare in the name of Jesus Christ, if there's cancer in their body, they will pull it out right here. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Clean them out. Any disease, clean it out. And while they go there, they don't know where they got healed, but it's because of the prayer that the guy is praying that, you know, while he's cleaning. Hallelujah. Father, I'm cleaning this doorknob. Lord, whoever touches this doorknob, let the power of the living God hit them through and through, and let there be transformation in their lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's called ministering. Find something to do because you're planted in the house of God. It says when you get planted in the house of the Lord, it says you will flourish in the courts of our God. You flourish. Wow. Because you planted, you flourish in the courts of God. That's a truth. He says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. When you're old, he says, you can still be fruitful. They shall be fat and flourishing. In other words, they shall be prosperous, loaded, and flourishing, even in old age. In other words, they will never peak. Glory be to God. Oh, he's come, he's this old now, he's no longer relevant. No, even in their old age, they become even more relevant. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Because there's no limit when you are planted in the house of the Lord. There's no limit to what God can do in your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord to us. Finally, let's look at this. He says, why? To show that the Lord is upright. He's faithful. When you planted, he will show to you that he's upright. To show that he is my rock. And there's no unrighteousness in him. No unrighteousness means there's no blocking. You have access. You're not denied access. There's no instability in him. All is right in God, and all is right in you and in me. And God will do the right thing by every one of us. Amen? I close with those words. And as I do so, I want to remind us once again that tomorrow, starting at 6:30, we are going to start our next set of special meetings. It is Rosh Hashanah proper, started this evening, leading till tomorrow. And we are going to be having those segments of meetings, and we've captioned it by the leading of the Holy Spirit, partnering with God. Reason being that the Lord spoke to me very clearly. I think it was in March or something like that. He said, speaking to me about partnering with God, I asked the question, what are you saying to me about this partnering with God? He said, that's my theme for the new year. That's my theme for the new year, partnering with God. I want my people to know that I'm partnering with them in whatever it is that they have been assigned to do. And if God be for us and God be with us, who and what can be against us? Amen? We are going to run through this troop and leap over walls because of the supernatural touching our natural and transforming our natural into the realm of the supernatural. Amen? So it's partnering with God, and that's going to be happening tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday. But I'm hearing in my spirit that there is something that's supposed to happen on the 8th. And when I'm very clear about it, I will let you know what that is going to be. I was saying that this morning, and I'm saying that again this evening, and I just heard what it is that the 8th is supposed to be. And all I can say to you is get ready. Let's do the 6th, the 7th, but the 8th, there is going to be a very special meeting. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we went through it already in this service tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I will leave it at that. I won't announce the next one, which is God My Waymaker, or the last one, which is God My Deliverer Conference. But do we have the promo for the conference tomorrow? Could you play that? There is power in covenant. Amen. It's the year 5782. Praise the Lord. Amen. Awesome. Well, let us honor God with our giving. If you've not done so yet, just come. Release by faith that which God has placed in your hand, and trust him to do what his word says he will always do. He is the God who multiplies our seed sown. The key to increase is in sowing. Amen? One of the one of the key aspects of this particular feast that we are going to be celebrating tomorrow is about fruitfulness. It's about harvest. Amen? You know, traditionally, the Jews will use two fundamental fruits. One is the apple that they dip in honey, and we're going to have that tomorrow. And the other fruit that is used is a fruit called pomegranate. Have you, anybody seen pomegranate before? Okay, a pomegranate has lots and lots of seeds. It's actually fruit of seeds. Wow, you know, and God's saying, I'm going to make you so fruitful. Hallelujah. You're going to experience my best. So we look forward to what God is going to do for us. Amen? So continue to honor God with your giving, and may the faithfulness of God be demonstrated in your life. Rise with me. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the privilege accorded us to worship you, to magnify you. I want again to thank you for 45 years of your grace upon my life and for the many years to come and the results that are going to be brought to pass as you bring speedily into place that which you have promised even before the foundations of the earth. I thank you, Lord, for every son and every daughter, everyone that you've raised up to partner with us in this calling, in this grace. Lord, oh God, that you will be the God who fights for them, establishes them, provides for them, help them, oh God, to fulfill their particular assignment and calling. I thank you, Lord, oh God, that even now that you will speak to us about the special gift that you require from our hands during this feast of Rosh Hashanah, this new year. Lord, oh God, we want to partner with you. And we ask, oh God, that all that needs to be done for the partnership to fully be effective be done in us, with us, through this day. Through this day, Lord. Through this day. For in the morning, you'll do something. At night, you'll do something else. So, Lord, oh God, tonight, excavate and eradicate whatever does not belong and give us experientially that mind which is of Christ. So, Lord, oh God, that we can serve with our whole heart in purity, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. I declare blessings upon every son and every daughter now. And I declare, oh God, that you, the God who elevates, will elevate your sons and your daughter and bring them to a place of divine fruitfulness, fullness, that the enemy cannot impede, stop, or hinder in any way, shape, or form. Thank you, Lord, for supernatural speed, supernatural ability, supernatural promotion, supernatural grace. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we are blessed and highly favored. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Well, bless you. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord, and may his favor abound towards you. See you tomorrow night for another wonderful time in his presence. Good night. Is there anybody on Zoom?